Amen.
Amen.
Let me find it. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savior, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men.
Amen.
Father, thank you for the word of God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for the Beatitudes. Thank you for preaching the greatest sermon ever preached. Thank you for filling us with your spirit and giving us the desire to come out and hear your word preached.
Yes, Lord.
Pray right now that you would just be with this preacher, Father God, as he tries to preach what you preach.
Yes, Lord.
Try to be faithful to God's word. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Jesus, speaking with those who were following him at that time, could have been thousands. Some say it was only a handful of disciples, but it could have been a multitude of folks listening to him on as he spoke on this day at the Sermon on the Mount. But Jesus was speaking to a world that understood salt. And we think of salt today, we think of how our French fries would not taste, how they would taste without salt. Or we think about the things that we love to put salt on. And those who know me, I enjoy salt and vinegar potato chips.
Amen.
I don't know if I would enjoy vinegar potato chips. Jesus wasn't speaking of that type of salt. He was talking about a salt that was a purifying agent. They didn't have refrigerators and freezers back in those days. And if they had anything that needed to be saved or stored, like meat, it would die off in hours in the heat of that day. So they would bathe that food in salt. They would submerge it in salt, and it would have a staying power to it. Well, Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he was basically saying, you are that salt. You are that salt in a world that is decaying. And it was decaying in Jesus' day.
Amen.
He said, in a world that's falling apart, you're that salt. So how do we make application? How do we take this great sermon of Jesus and apply it to our own lives? Because Jesus is saying, ye are the salt of the world. And we become that salt when we become Christians. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we become salt.
Amen.
We become the salt of the world. Cindy and I, we were watching Family Feud yesterday, and they have the part where you get down to the 20 seconds. And you have to start naming all these different, answering all these questions. And so they had the question. The man was getting a little confused. They asked him, name something that you put on top of a salad. And he said, whipped cream. Sour cream versus whipped cream. When they went to turn the page, the buzzer went off zero. But what is happening to a lot of us and in the church, we have become whipped cream instead of salt. Because, see, salt irritates. Salt is necessary in this world, that's decaying. I heard Deacon Elmer say about the politicians that are getting ready to go to war. And it's probably going to be as nasty an election as we ever seen in America.
Amen.
And Hillary and Mr. Trump are going at it. Our society is falling apart.
Amen.
There's no salt, neither one of those two.
Amen.
Marriage and the sanctity of marriage is in need of some salt.
Amen.
Our law system and our justice system is in need of some salt. Mm-hmm. Our school system is in need of some salt. Unfortunately, I hate to even say the last one, but the church is in need of some salty folks.
Amen.
The church is in need of some Christians that are salty.
Amen.
But most of all, our world is in need of salt. And I had this study this morning. I was talking to Shirley just a little bit. But when you think about Sodom and Gomorrah, you think about that just man, as 1 Peter called Lot. He said Lot was a just man. Lot was in Sodom, and Abraham went to the angels and pleaded with those angels, pleaded with the Lord. If there's 50, and he worked himself all the way down to 10. There are 10 just men. Will you save Sodom and Gomorrah? But when God took the very little salt that was in Sodom out, when he took those that represented the church out of Sodom, fire and brimstone rained down. We have a great responsibility as Christians to be salt. And I thought about Lot, and I was thinking about Lot, and the question came up, why did he offer his two daughters to those homosexuals to have relationships with? Lot was a just man, and he was trying to save Sodom and Gomorrah. It was a wicked world, but in the same sense, Jesus died for a wicked world.
Amen.
I thought about the thief on the cross, and in his dying breath, he told his other friend, "We're in trouble here. You need to repent and ask God to save you." On the cross.
Amen.
On the cross. What did Lot do? In Genesis 19 and 14, it says, Lot, when he knew that Sodom was going to be burned, went to his son-in-law's house and preached one more sermon to them. He said, "Get up, get out of this place, for God is about to destroy it." And like the world today, they looked at Lot and mocked him as a fool. Well, salty folks will be considered fools.
Amen.
Salt has a season and influence. We think about it on our food, but the Word of God says our heart ought to be seasoned with salt. Because our speech is we are identified a lot with the things that we say.
Amen.
As believers. Colossians puts it like this in Colossians 4 and 6. He said, "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt." Why? "That you may know how you ought to answer every man." Every man. Some folks can't hear Christians because our speech ain't right. Our speech is not seasoned with salt. Paul, speaking to the Ephesians, had the same issue with the church at Ephesus. He says in Ephesians 4:29, he said, "Let no corrupt communications proceed out of your mouth." Paul understood how important it was to have our hearts and our mouths seasoned with salt.
Amen.
Peter speaking to the folks in his day, put it like this: when you're dealing with folks who need salt, who need the Lord, who need to hear a word from God. He said, Peter, listen. He said, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you. How, Peter? With meekness and fear. 1 Peter 3 and 15. David understood the importance of our tongues and our mouths. David pleaded with the Lord in Psalms 141 and 3. He said, Lord, listen, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, and keep the door of my lips. He said, you know, God, you stand outside of me and you monitor what comes out of my mouth and what goes into me. Say, put set a watch, a guard. Some of us, we need to. You know, working in the Department of Corrections for the years I've worked, I've heard some of the most filthy language I've ever heard from the guards, from the staff, from people working there. I've talked to corrections people, and they said, well, the only way you can talk to these inmates is cuss them out. They don't understand anything else. I just beg to differ. I beg to differ. I believe that they can hear you better. You speak to them in love. Amen. You speak to them in the power of God. And honestly, until God deals with this world, we got some work to do. Salt not only has an influencing agent, because I love to talk to you folks. I love to talk and I love to laugh and I love to share my emotions and my feelings with you. I think it's important. But salt, not only does it have a preserving aspect to it, it purifies and cleans. How about that? It purifies and cleans. I just remember not long ago I had a sore throat. I don't know who told me. Somebody told me, get a little salt water. See, get a little salt water and gargle with it a few times. See, what's good for you always don't taste good. Okay? Salt purifies and cleanses. Salt also heals. Salt also heals. See, some of us, when we was unsaved, we was lost, we was dead in our trespasses and sins, we needed some salt. Amen. We needed to be salted down. We need to be purified. Salt has a purifying effect to it. Salt creates thirst. So sometimes you go out and you eat something salty, you start taking off your rings and stuff. You know you're not going to get them all the next day. You sit down at the Chinese food buffet. Take the rings off before you start eating. Salt creates thirst. When Jesus said you are the salt of the world, what he's saying is, as believers, we ought to create a thirst. Amen. The world ought to see us and say, you know what? I want the joy and the peace that brother has or that sister has. I want to be able to handle adversity and trials and tribulations like that brother has. How are you doing that? How are you handling that? How are you handling that? I talked to a grandmother, called me this week, and they had placed her son at Indian River, and he had done a grievous crime that was known throughout all of Akron, Canton area. And she just told me, I just couldn't have done this. I couldn't have got through this without the Lord. Amen. Without the Lord, without me leaning not on my own understanding. When I tried to understand this, there's no way I could have. That my child would do something like this. And she said, folks is just watching her. And I told her, I said, let me tell you something. I said, when you in the break area one day and you see them all in there because they're watching you, let them know that's your testimony of the goodness of God and how God has worked in your life, and let them know what God has done and how he's gotten you through this. Because you're not getting through that by yourself. Amen. See, some of the things, we look back, and as the song says, sometimes I look back and wonder how I got over. You sit back and think about, I don't even know how I went through that. That's why a lot of us, we have that picture in our house where the footprint's in the sand, because we can relate to that. Amen. Because there's situations in our life, we look back, I don't know how I did that. I don't know how I did that. But we did it. We did it. And again, when we look at what salt does, we look at one of the last things salt does, it irritates. Salt irritates. Unsaved folks don't like to be around salty folks. Okay? Unsaved folks, you bring one saved person in the room and the whole conversation's changed. All the cussing has stopped. I walk around where my place of business and folks, I must hear 20 times a day if I move around a lot. I'm sorry. I apologize. Excuse me, chap. Excuse me, pastor. I hear it. And you ought to hear it too. You ought to change the atmosphere, because you put salt on something, it changes the taste. Amen. It changes the atmosphere. And this is what Jesus is saying. We're the salt of the world. So when we step out into the world, we ought to be change agents. I've been in situations, folks, I walk in a room, folks leave. They didn't want to, and I'm not running around handing out tracts or anything like that. I just walk in the room. Amen. Just light, huh? Darkness got to leave. Amen. That's next week. Salt of the earth. There's not a greater compliment you could get as a man or woman of God than someone to say, you know what? You're the salt of the earth. How about that? You're the salt of the earth. Boy, we need some salty Christians. We got a whole many gourmet Christians. They think God said you ought to be the sugar of the earth, because we so sweet. We so sweet. Some things need salt. Amen. Sometimes our kids don't need sweet. Amen. Sometimes they need salt. Amen. They need just to get up into their business and let them know. I heard Sharon say this morning, game recognized game, something like that. But, you know, God took us out of the world, but he didn't take the world out of us like that. Amen. Okay? We left the world, but the world will leave us. We still understand. Sometimes our kids think we just idiots. Uh-huh. And I have to let mine know, listen, let me tell you something. It ain't been that long. Sin is old-fashioned. Okay, they ain't doing nothing today we wasn't doing. Amen. It's just more available. Yep. And dangerous. So Jesus is talking to these disciples, followers, learners. And he says, you are. Not that you need to become, not that you need to work at it. He said, you are the salt of the earth. What did he mean? He gave them a formula. What is salt? He said, here's spiritual salt. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You need to be humble. You need to be humble. You need to be a man or woman that walks in humility. You need to be low. See, it's hard to knock somebody down when they're on the ground. See, some of us, our feelings get hurt so much because we're so high and haughty. Then we get low and start looking up to things. It's hard to get knocked down. So many folks in the church, their feelings was hurt so easy because you were too high. Amen. Need to get low. Amen. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Now you need to be a mourner. See, mourners are salty. You ever wonder why your tears taste like salt? See, mourners, people that mourn are full of salt. Because you understand that it's because of you that our Savior died. That he stepped out of heaven and died. And he would have died for you if he was the only one here. And we mourn because our sin caused the Lord to have to die. And the sins that we commit, he had to die for. And then not only that, then this salt contains the blessedness of being meek. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those that are under the power and under the control of God. You're a blessed man when you are under the authority of God. I'm watching something crazy. Cindy had me watching crazy stuff this weekend. I'm just telling on her. Watching this show, something. And the girl got up there. What makes you happy? I'm able to do whatever I want to do. That ain't meekness. See, the meek person is under the control of God. You're not meek until God is in control. Amen. Y'all know I love verse 6 of Matthew 5. I could preach on it 50 times in a row because this is just so important. You tell me you salty? You tell me you salt of the world? Here's number 6. Work with this one. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. The salty person is someone who's looking for opportunities to do right. And it ain't hard. It is not hard to find opportunities to do what is right in a fallen world. In a fallen world. Blessed are the merciful. You're going to be merciful. You're going to be merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those that's persecuted. Because if you do all those, rest assured, persecution coming your way. Amen. When you stand for God. Now, I'm not, you know, when you stand for God in a fallen world, you get persecuted. Mm-hmm. See, some folks get persecuted because of your choices. Mm-hmm. And your decisions. And the places that you want to go and the things you want to do and the people you want to hang out with. And then you persecute it. The world's going to persecute you. And you're going to say, well, God got his hand on me. No, God ain't got his hand on you. Amen. You calling shots and you calling the wrong shots. Amen. Blessed are the persecuted for doing what's right. Are you salt? That's the question. Because Jesus he's going to get a little bit testy here. Because he says, you are salt. Here's what salt do. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Look what he says. He's coming to the city of Thessalonica. And he's going to teach these folks what it means to be Christians. Because they're saved. They receive the power of God. They receive the Holy Spirit. And watch what they do. And we have to compare these illustrations with our own lives because it's what Christians ought to be doing. Now Paul has come to Thessalonica and he's teaching. And he says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only. What gospel? Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose from the grave. And it came to you not in word only. How? But in power. And in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. See, if the man of God, life don't back up what he says, then he's not the man of God. Amen. Okay, you can't tell me how powerful the word of God is, but your life is showing no power. Your marriage is not showing any power. The way you do things. No power. But you're telling folks they need to have power, but you don't have no power. You can't control your lust. Can't control your mouth. Can't control your eyes. Can't control anything, but you're telling the folks that they got power. Paul says, you know what manner of men we were among you. And ye became followers of us. Why? Because Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy in the Holy Ghost. Somebody know what that's saying? When you receive the Lord, you're going to receive it in much affliction. You know why? Because it's going to divide. It's going to salt up stuff. And it's going to come into your house and come into your home and cause you to take an account of your life. Amen. And you will be in much affliction, because it may get your husband or your kids. Amen. Like, listen, that's for you, mom, but not for me. Or that's for you, dad, and not for me. And that wife that you have, then she might still want to run the streets. Or that husband may not be ready to stop drinking yet. But when it comes, it's going to come. But a sword, it's going to cut up some stuff. And you know what? These Thessalonican believers, they were full of joy of the Holy Ghost. So much joy. Look what they did. So said they were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Archaia. From you sounded out the word of God of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and in Archaia, but also every place your faith to God word is spread abroad. So that Paul said, we need not even speak anything. They spread it so fast. Are you spreading the word? Salt spreads through stuff. Amen. You put too much salt on something, you're going to know it. Amen. You put too much salt on it, you're going to know it. And if you put salt in the wrong thing, you're going to know it. Me and Ray, we was making iced tea once. I say, Ray, put the sugar in there. I'm blaming it on him because I don't recall the story. But I know it don't sound like something I would do. But whatever reason, salt went in the iced tea. And we stirred it all up. And poured in our glasses with the ice. And then we went to drinking. We looked at each other. And we messed up. Salt will mess up some stuff. Amen. Salt will mess up some stuff. You put in the wrong stuff. Listen. Let me talk about some salty Christians. See if you can find yourself in some salty Christians. How about Abel? Y'all remember Cain and Abel? Right. Oh, Cain wasn't salty. Cain was worldly. So when God asked Cain and Abel to bring a sacrifice, Cain brought a sacrifice from the world. He brought some bread, and he brought a basket of fruit. And y'all know how that goes. You get it in the mail. Fruit basket. Cain was carnal and worldly. Abel knew what to bring. He was taught. Both of them was taught. But Cain said, that's too much. Here's what Abel did. The Bible said by faith, Hebrews 11:4. He said by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, or that he was salty, that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaking. How about that? How about that? Think about some folks that have poured salt into your life.
Yeah.
I hear you guys in Sunday school talk about Miss Washington. Yeah. And how she poured salt into your lives. She's still speaking to y'all. I hear how you guys talk about Pastor Shells and how he spoke the word of God to you. He spoke some salt into you, and you still speak fondly of him. And those are good things. And remember one thing, right now you're salting your children. You're salting your grandchildren. You're salting your community. And then what kind of salt are you doing? What kind of salt are you salting with? Because all salt ain't good salt. Look at Acts. I love this story. Acts 9. Talk about Dorcas, Tabitha. Salty. Salty. See, when we start having an impact on our community, I believe, you know, we won't have to be laying out in the street and protesting and worrying about the cops shooting our bad kids.
Amen.
Okay. I'm not going to go no further than that because y'all know I'm not politically correct. Now, there was in Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is Dorcas. And it really, now I'm just, really what it's going to say here is this woman was salty. Okay? Here's what it says. And this woman was full of good works and alms deed, which she did. And it came to pass in those days, that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, laid her in the upper chamber. How about that? They try to get her as near to God as possible. They look for a miracle here. Now, and for as much as Lydia was not a Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Mm-hmm. What was the point? This woman was a good woman. Not good of her own works. She was good to God. She was good for that community because she was salty. She was so salty that they washed her. They waited for God to respond. And we said this morning, we don't serve a God a chance. It wasn't by chance that Peter was in that area. Amen. And Peter came and he touched that woman. And she rose. And the people were glorified. I asked the question, would you be even worth touching? Bringing back? If something happened to you, would folks mourn? We need her back. The church need her back. Hezekiah turned to the wall. Bible said he turned to the wall. Yeah. And he put his resume out there. He said, God, I've been working for you. Yeah. I've been battling for you. I'm your man. I want to finish what I've done. Yeah. What reason would God have to bring you back? What reason would God have to bring you back? Or would he say, I never knew you? Look at Job. You want to talk about the ingredients in salt? See if you can pick them up in Job. Job had it. It says, and the Lord said unto Satan, Has thou considered my servant Job? My servant Job. That there is none like him in the earth. Perfect and upright. Perfect and upright. One that fears God. One that have reverence for the things of God. One that really believes that God is omniscient. That God is always watching him. Always watching him. Whether he ride around in a cart at Walmart or Giant Eagle. He realizes that God is watching me. Watching me on my job. Watching me at school. Watching me how I treat my wife and my kids and my loved ones. Watching me. That's one that fear God. Mm-hmm. See, we think one that fear God come to church. One that fear God. Know that God is watching. Okay. And escheweth evil. That this disdains evil. Don't want nothing to do with evil. Amen. The word of God says in 1 Thessalonians 5, we ought to flee the very appearance of evil. Of evil. Mm-hmm. Here's one of the great stories. See, you young people, y'all know one thing for certain. When I prepare a message, I always have you in mind. Here's the story of a little servant maid. A little maid slave in a foreign land. And then if you comfortable here in America as a believer, then you probably ain't salty as you need to be. Amen. Because really for the believer, we in a foreign land. Okay? Mm-hmm. This world speaks a whole different language than the believer ought to be hearing. Amen. It don't take long. I mean, listen. I have folks cuss me out. Don't even know who they're talking to. I don't even know them. I can be standing in line at Sam's Club Giant Eagle and the folks just start cussing. Uh-huh. And then I realize I'm in a foreign land.
Amen.
Okay? I'm in a foreign land. There was a story of two missionaries. They had been to Africa or somewhere and they had spent their whole life over there saving souls and witnessing for Jesus Christ. And they happened to be on the same plane as a rock star. And so when they came back to America, the rock star had thousands of folks out there waiting for him to come home. They were screaming, wanting autographs. And the man looked at his wife and said, we've been over in Africa serving all our life, and we come home and nobody here to greet us. Amen. Y'all know the story. And the wise wife tapped her husband on the shoulder and said, sweetie, we not home yet. Amen. We not home yet. And I just pray that you just don't get so comfortable with this. Amen. Now here's a little slave girl. Here's the little slave girl. This is how the story goes. Now, Naaman, the captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. And he was also mighty, a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Watch this. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away a captive of the land of Israel, a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. 2 Kings 5, 1 through 7. Listen. And she said unto her mistress, the little maid in a foreign land, away from her family, away from all that she knew, but not away from God. See, I don't care how bad your circumstances is, God ain't not going to leave you in them. See, when we talk about Daniel and the three Hebrew boys, and they was in a foreign land. They didn't have no choirs. They didn't have no church to go to. They was in a foreign land. Uh-huh. But you know what they did? They was able to worship God. Yeah. But can you worship God in a foreign land? Amen. This woman, this little girl could. And it says in verse 3, and she said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him from his leprosy. She never lost her sight of God. Her relationship with God never changed. No matter what she went through, her relationship with God never changed. She always knew that he was the power of her life, and she always trusted in him. And here she is witnessing in a foreign land. How about that? A little salty little girl. Listen. Jesus goes on to say this. That's the good salt. See, we got a lot of good for nothing churches. We got a lot of good for nothing Christians. Now I'm writing the text now. Y'all, listen. That's what the Word of God is saying. You either good for something or you good for nothing. Now, this is Jesus' words. It's in red, so, you know, y'all not going to stop me for eating some chicken today. I'm not running out of here because I'm standing on the Word of God. Here's what Jesus is saying. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? What are you going to salt? If you lost your savor, what are you going to salt? Some of us got some salt in the cabinets now. You start shaking it out and the steam come out of it and it just harden all up. You throw it out. It's cheap. This salt ain't. God is saying here, it is thenceforth good for nothing. Tasteless. If you've lost your savior or your savor, you're good for nothing. That's Jesus' own words. What's he talking about? What's he talking about? You lost your favor? Have you lost your favor? How do you lose it? That's a good question. You stop standing on the promises of God. Amen. You stop reading his word. You stop studying. You stop praying. And you will lose your favor. You start worrying about the things of this world. And you will lose your saltiness. You will lose your ability to salt things. You lose your integrity as a Christian. And some of you know men and women of God that ain't worth their salt. You're not listening to them. They done too much. You can't see the Lord in them because you see too much of them. I think about our little town here. And most of the preachers in this town and throughout the world, they've dropped the Bible. Uh-huh. They become civil rights leaders. Uh-huh. God ain't called no preacher to be a leader in the civil rights movement. You call people to do that. See, we always marching. We always protesting. We always demonstrating. But we never protested and marching and demonstrating for Jesus.
Amen.
You never hear them struggling for Jesus. See, they want to model themselves after Martin Luther King. Now, listen, let me tell you something. Martin Luther King marched to Selma. He was marching for the rights of good people. Amen. Good folks, working class folks. He wasn't marching and protesting for thugs pulling guns and committing crimes and killing folks. He just wasn't. Oh, y'all don't want to hear that. But that's just the truth. He was marching for the folks that wanted to work, that wanted the equal rights in America. He wasn't marching for thugs.
Amen.
He just wasn't. And he would come out of his grave, he wouldn't march today.
Amen.
And all the preachers want to talk about it. Every time I see them, they're talking about the school board. They're talking about the president and who going to be this and the city council, all that. Let's talk about Jesus, because that's what's going to change this country.
Amen.
That's what's going to change this city. When the preachers stand in the pulpit and preach Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And him crucified.
Amen.
And him crucified. I was at a funeral last month and the preacher came in, no pun intended, but he come in. The preacher. And he got the Pittsburgh Steeler hat on. He got the Pittsburgh Steeler jersey on. And I'm like, who you representing? Who you representing? You're a man of God, not a man of the world. There's a way that a man of God or a woman of God ought to represent and ought to carry ourselves. We are the salt of the world. We're not the world.
Amen.
Oh, we're the salt of the world. See, we put the Bible down. You get a preacher on TV, you don't hear him talk about Jesus. They ain't talking about Jesus. They on TV. No blood, no Jesus, no Holy Ghost, no salvation, no repentance. You don't hear none of that.
Amen.
They quit. They lost their savor. Mm-hmm. They've lost their strength. They're dull and they're sluggish. They lost it. Apply to the mind. And folks, look at them. I'm going to tell you something because I know. I ain't been saved all my life. I know when I looked at a preacher that was doing stuff and I was at General Motors and I seen some of them folks call themselves preachers hitting on the same women I was hitting on. I'm like, I ain't calling myself a preacher. And then when you look at them, you they're laughable. They're laughable. There, you see the irresponsibility of the office, of the charge, and then they preach it on Sunday. I remember a deacon at Jeremiah, he had a shirt on, and on the back of it said, "Don't ask me for." Started with an S, ended with a T. And then I went to a funeral, and the brother was singing. And then I never knew, and they said, man, that brother can sing. But at General Motors, he was the first one out the door at break time, smoking and drinking, doing everything else. And then when the people at General Motors, didn't matter how many people he impacted. Think about how many people you impact.
Amen.
When you call yourself a man of God, a woman of God, and you're in an environment where you can have, where you can be salt, but you're good for nothing.
Amen.
I see it. It is what it is. The question Jesus is asking, and I'm not asking, he's asking, listen, if your salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing. Now the question I would have to answer, am I a good for nothing Christian?
Amen.
What am I good for? If I was to go out to Cardinal Mooney, got Christians going to Cardinal Mooney, got Christians going to all these public schools and different things, is there any evidence? Is there any evidence? We watched the movie the other day. Is there any evidence? Would I be able to convict some of y'all of being Christians? Would I be able to arrest you? And they said, what are you taking her for? What are you taking him for? Why are you hitting me in handcuffs? Because I'm taking them in for being a Christian. And then folks be laying all in the street, marching. Let them go, let them go. You got the wrong one. He's innocent. Black Lives Matter. That woman, that girl ain't showed no evidence of being a Christian. She cussed just like us. She texts. She watched all the movies. We sent her the YouTube videos. She laughed at them, sent them five back. You got the wrong one. Kids ain't saved. That person ain't saved. That person is a heathen. Oh, Pastor, you crazy. Listen, folks. Salt means influence. And we're making an impact on people. You know, we don't think we are, but we are. And I know my kids are watching me. And I know Ray watching me like a hawk. And Jaquan is watching me like watching me. But let me tell you this. Herodias' daughter watched her. She watched her mother. She watched her mother, how her mother done things. She knew what her mother wanted. She knew what would make her mother happy. And the Bible says, and when Herod had a birthday party, said the daughter of Herodias danced before them. And she danced in a way to please Herod. Beyonce ain't start this thing. Herod's daughter was first Beyonce. And it says, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. One verse up into the kingdom. And she, watch this now, being instructed by her mother, said, give me here John the Baptist's head in a charger. How you influencing? How's your salt? How's your salt? Are you salty? Is the church salty enough? See, some of us want a sugar down church. But see, God didn't call us to be the sugar of the world. Amen. Or the sweetener of the world. His own words, he said, you are the salt of the world. Let me give you a few verses. I'm going to close. I know we got a busy day. How do I stop losing my salt? How do I retain my saltiness back? Or how do one lose his salt? Listen, James 4:4 says this. He says, you adulterers and adulteress, know you not that friendship with the world is intimacy with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. You know what? You'll lose your saltiness by being too close to the world. Amen. I talk to folks and I got 1,500 Facebook friends. No, you don't. If you got one friend, you're a blessed person. Amen. You don't have 1,500 friends. I don't care how much your page is blowing up or your phone is blowing up. You don't have that many friends. Amen. They wouldn't be calling you right now if they was your friend and you in church. Amen. Secondly, see, we become spotted by the world. How? Because we don't keep ourselves unspotted from it. James 1:20 said, he said, pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this. To visit the fatherless and widows in their afflictions and to keep himself unspotted from the world. But Pastor, how can I keep myself unspotted from the world? That's a tough one too. I really don't have an answer. But I tell you one thing. You stay in God's will. You stay in God's house. You stay in among God's people. And you stay in the fellowship of the church. You'll help yourself. You might get a spot or two, but you'll be better off in God's house than in the world's house. How about this one? Conformity to the world. Oh, man, this is a good one, ain't it? Got to have them Jordans. You know? Got to have them Beyonce outfits. Okay? Even Justin Bieber sagging now. Yeah, hip huggers. Justin Bieber sagging. We got to keep our sag on. We look just like the world. Amen. I mean, you can't tell the difference between... Listen. You can't tell the difference between a saved person and an unsaved person. You ought to be. You ought to be able to. You know, in the world, I look at the saint and say, you know, something different about you.
Amen.
Really? And people say, well, you're nitpicking. No, I'm not. Because the word of God say, I beseech you, I beg you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. How about that? You want to be like the world. You know, I Googled this, the top 25 entertainers of all time. You know, the first two were Michael Jackson and Whitney Houston. How about that? Both of them gone. Because they was crazy. Both of them gone. Michael Jackson and Whitney Houston. Chris Brown was on the list. Luther Vandross died of AIDS. Teddy Pendergrass, y'all know the story. Rihanna was on the list. Her and Chris Brown. And Tupac. How about that? What a list. Which one of them y'all want to be like? Which one of them you want to grow up to be like? I don't think any of them make 60. Little salty. Message you a little salty. But we need that salt.
Amen.
We need that salt. We need to keep it on our tables. The tables of our heart. We need the salt. You know, when we get this, we're ready to say something we don't need to say, we need to say, God, guard my lips.
Yeah.
We our thought life needs salt. And I preach to myself a lot. Because I say some stuff and I know Satan don't like it all. But I have to ask God to guard me and watch me and protect me and to guide me, because I got a lot of folks that look up to me. Then I got a lot of folks that would love to see preachers fall.
Amen.
Especially preachers that a little fearless and say some things. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the power of God, and I thank you for the power of God in the life of this church. Thank you when I look out and I see folks that I know, Father God, have gone through, been through, and going to go through some more. But I know they won't have to go through by themselves. And I thank you, Father God, for the word of God that we could preach it boldly and still be able to preach it boldly in America. There's going to come a day where the word of God will be silenced. It'll be silenced, like in other countries. Mm-hmm. But Father God, while we can speak it, while we can preach it, while we can still live and represent you, Father God, I ask right now that you would just give the church of God, the people of God, not only in this church, but throughout this land, the power and the boldness to be salt in a decaying, rotten, evil, cursed world. More now than ever, Father God, we need salty Christians. We need salty Christians. And if you're here today and you know, I am a good for nothing Christian. I just pray that you would ask God, make me a good for something Christian. Touch my life, cut it. I know it's going to be painful. I've been doing some things for a long time. But God, I just trust that you will just separate me from this world. Separate me from my evil thoughts. Separate me from habits that I know don't glorify you. Separate me from people, Father God, who are leading me down the wrong path. Separate me from my thought life, Father God, because one day I may act on one of these thoughts. Father God, give me, like you did David, a clean heart. Renew a right spirit in me. Clean me with hyssop. make me whole. Then when I teach you, I will teach your people. I will teach them not only by talking, I'll teach them by walking. I'll teach them by the power of God they see in my life. Father, thank you for everything. You're so good to us. Especially to me, Father God. You called me. Didn't want to be called. Didn't want to be saved. Wasn't even thinking about it. Then you called me. You called me out of darkness into your marvelous light. And I just thank you. And then you surrounded me with some folks that love me enough to say, we want you to be our pastor. And I just thank you, Father God. It's just been the joy of my life, Father God. And I pray that you would just protect me, guide me. Don't let me fall or stumble. And when I do, Father God, lift me up. Pray all these things today in Jesus' name.